Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnu Sahasranam, name 996. Sharanga Dhanva. Means he, Vishnu, has the bow named Sharanga. And the word Sharanga, or sometimes given as Saranga, is derived from the root Hingsayam, which means to tear to pieces, to hurt, to kill. Other weapons do so also. Another meaning is Sharanga Dhanva, Sharanga Nama Dhanu. Yasya aso tata. He has the bow which is made of horn, shringa. Shringa means horn. And who has something made from horn is, or something made from horn can be called sharanga. In South India, Kodanda. Kodandaram, very famous. Vishnu is famous not so much for his bow, more for his discus, and also his club, but especially in the form of Rama. He has his bow. Rama, Lakshman, presumably Bharata and Shatrughna also, they're all part of the same family. Krishna sometimes uses bow also. We'll get to discuss this. How did Ram get his bow? Well, it's his eternal companion. And not just, we could sometimes say in a metaphorical way that our bead bag should be our constant companion or something like that. My lust and greed is my eternal companion, something like this. But actually all the features, all the paraphernalia of the Lord is personal. Everything is personal, whatever we see. There's the great mistake, one of the great mistakes of the materialistic society, to think that there's a hard distinction between spirit and matter. Spirit is everywhere. Looking surprised. Is it? Surprised? Go in the forest. Is it? People live in the cities. They don't, they just see all buildings and roads and cars. Go and live in the country and then you'll feel spirit all around you. So how did Ram get his bow? First of all, there were bows. When he was first, he must have been trained from the very beginning, because Vishvamitra came and brought him, and Lakshman came along for killing Tartaka, Subahu, the demons who were disturbing Vishvamitra's yagya. And he didn't expect them just to punch out the demons. They brought their weapons, including the bows. But the most famous incident of him receiving a bow is just after him breaking the bow of Lord Shiva at the palace of Janak Maharaj, which was the condition for winning the hand of Sita. So he's going back to Ayodhya, and Parashuram turns up unexpectedly, because it was thought that he'd finished his fighting business, he'd gone off and done austerities, and all of a sudden he's back in an angry mood, unexpectedly. And Dasharatha is, he's very afraid. But it's symbolic, you could say, passing on the role of the Kshatriya killing the demons, passing on from Parashuram. Now again it's going to be done by Ramachandra. Parashuram said to Dasharati Ram that, okay, did an outstanding feat by breaking the bow of Lord Shiva, but I've got an even more formidable bow, that of Vishnu. If you really think you're a great hero, take this bow. First of all, even to be able to even hold the bow of Shiva, most of the princes who came for the hand of Sita couldn't even lift it up. So take it, that's the first condition. And then you have to string it. And if you can pull the arrow back to its full length, then I shall consider you fit to fight with. Yeah, then Dasharath is pleading, no, don't fight, he's just a boy. But Parashuram just ignored Dasharath. And Dasharath went on to explain that both the bow of Shiva, which you broke, and this bow of Vishnu were made by Vishvakarma. Lord Shiva was given one of the bows to kill Tripurasura. Then, after this amazing feat, which made it look like Lord Shiva's supreme, he did it, not Vishnu, right? That's described in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam. The demigods went to Brahma, and out of curiosity, they asked, Parashuram's telling this to Lord Ram, they asked, who is more powerful, Lord Shiva or Lord Vishnu? So, Lord Brahma decided to demonstrate to them who's the most powerful. So he arranged to make some conflict between them. And then there was a fight. And during the fight, Lord Vishnu cut Lord Shiva's bowstring. And then he did the humka. There's a powerful, not exactly a mantra, but it's a beads sound, very powerful, very loudly he did that and froze Lord Shiva, stunned him. And then the demigod said, okay, let's stop it here. We don't want Lord Shiva to be completely out of action. So everyone could understand that Lord Vishnu is supreme. However, Lord Shiva wasn't very happy with this. He felt insulted. So then he gave, in depression or disgust or whatever, he gave his bow to Devavrata, who was a king in the line of Ikshvaku. And Lord Vishnu gave his bow to the sage Richika, who later gave this bow to his son Jamadagni. And Parashuram explained that Jamadagni is his father, Parashuram's father, but his father never used that bow, for he had vowed not to retaliate against any wrong done to him. Now Parashuram is famous for killing all the fallen Kshatriyas with his Parashu. That's why he's called Parashuram. Parashu means axe. So he didn't use the bow much. But he described that after killing all the Kshatriyas, I became the ruler of the earth. And then Parashuram explained that he engaged Kashyapa to perform a great sacrifice as an atonement for Parashuram's having killed all the Kshatriyas. So as the ruler of the earth, Parashuram gave Kashyapa the whole earth as Dakshina, as the reward for performing the sacrifice. And then I, Parashuram, retired to Mount Mahendra, and there I got great prowess by performing great austerities. But when I heard that you had broken the bow of Lord Shiva, I felt compelled to come and challenge you. You see, he was another powerful kshatriya. Or maybe either he's on the level of me, Vishnu, or he's a rogue and I'll have to look after him. So if you consider yourself a great hero, it's a condescending, poking way of talking. If you consider yourself a great hero, not that you are a great hero, if you think you're a great hero, take this bow and see if you're fit to fight me. Ram didn't say anything. Took the bow, an arrow, and by just taking it, he took away Parashuram's, his ascetic fruits. All the, then drew it to the full length. What's he going to do with it? He's not going to shoot Parashuram. Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnay, Madhva explains that by doing this, Ram, Dasharati Ram, showed that there's no difference between the two Rams, Dasharati Ram and Parashuram. And Madhva explains also that this also shows that Vishnu is superior to Rudra, whose Pinakibo he broke by stringing it, but this one he didn't break. No difference in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita. Rupa Goswami explains that Parashuram is a Shaktyaveshavata jiva. Madhva, he says there's no difference whatsoever. But, and practically there is no difference. When Shaktyaveshavata, when he acts with the power of Vishnu as Vishnu. Just like Srila Prabhupada came and preached Krishna consciousness all over the world, if Krishna himself had come, he couldn't have done a better job. So Ram then said, I'm not going to kill you. He's handed him the bow, he pulled it back and it's facing right at Parashuram. I'm not going to kill you because you're a Brahmana. And you're also related to Vishvamitra, who's right there, his guru, or one of Rama's guru, acting as guru. Because Vishvamitra's eldest sister, who was called Satyavati, married the great sage Richika, who's the grandfather of Parashuram. So he said, I'm not going to kill you. However, once a kshatriya pulls, he's been challenged, it's not practice, he has to release that. So then he let it go, and in this way he destroyed his attainment of heaven. From their position in the sky, the demigods glorified Ram with great enthusiasm and showered him with fragrant flowers. At that time, Rama gave this bow to Varuna, when all the demigods were present. Exactly why is not stated in Ramayana, nor do any of the commentators explain why. I guess at that time, it wasn't needed so much. And I can only guess. Then again, when Ram was going to go to the forest, by the desire of the demigods, manifest through Mother Kaikeyi, Lakshman wanted to come, and Ram saying no, 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 and Lakshman saying yes, 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 and eventually Rama agreed. But then he told Lakshman, first offer obeisance to your mother, then bring the two bows given by Varuna to Maharaj Janak, and other weapons also. Then we'll go. So they took bows with them. They left. Kaikeyi had made the condition that he couldn't take any, he couldn't have anything, but the weapons he still had. Then again, in Dandakaranya, when Rama, Lakshman, and Sita were visiting the ashram of Agastya Muni, Agastya gave Rama the bow of Vishnu. And it specifically said that had been constructed by Vishvakarma, along with two inexhaustible quivers from Indra, an infallible arrow, and a gold inlaid sword from Lord Brahma. Now, how did Agastya get that? Again, in Ramayana, it doesn't say so, but one Acharya, you don't have the name here, from Alva Tirunagari. You know that? Have you been there? Yeah, there are so many holy places in... Yeah. That's the place of Namarlava. So he's Tengalai Sri Vaishnava. He said that as Parashuram mentions that Vishvakarma created a bow for Lord Vishnu, and Agastya said the same thing. So we can understand that it must be the same bow, and that Varuna at some point gave it to Agastya to give to Rama. That was the idea. But nowhere, there's no reference in the Valmiki Ramayana or any of the Divya Prabandhams or even the commentators, but it's understood. In the Govinda Rajiyam, that's the commentary by famous commentary on Ramayana, he says that after Agastya gave the bow to Rama, then Rama and Lakshman and Sita, on the advice of Agastya, they went to Panchavati. That's in the Ramayana. And Govindaraj says that there the Lord gives the bow back to Varuna, and just before the pastime of Kara and Dushana coming with all their armies to attack Rama, Varuna gave it back to Rama. So he didn't, when it was needed, he was keeping it. Otherwise, for hunting animals in the forest, even killing the Rakshasas in the forest, he didn't use for that. Although any bow which Lord Ram uses can be understood to be at least an expansion of the original Sharanga, because all his weapons are his eternal companions. In his childhood, he used bow to kill Tartaka and Subahu, and give Maricha a nice ride in the sky. From one side of Bharat to another, from northeast to southwest, he got shot. He, with his bow, in Janastan, he killed Kara, Dushana, and so many Rakshasas. Then he killed Vali, then in Lanka, and of course, ultimately, Ravana. Another common word for bow, or a generic term for bow, is dhanush. And Parashara Bhatta comments that dhanush, that means something which makes a sound. That's the derivation. So Parashara Bhatta explains that the Sharanga bow, the greatness of the Sharanga bow is not only that it can destroy the evil forces, but even the names and the status of the enemies, just by the twang, the loud sound, by the sound of pulling and releasing the cord, It's such a powerful sound. And of course, the power of the arrows coming out of the bow. So in two ways this works. By the arrows emanating from the bow and from the very sound of the bow, that in both ways that destroys the enemies and enlivens the devotees. This is confirmed in Bhagavatam, in the pastime of Vamanadev, showing his universal form. Sarvatmani dambhuvanam niriksha sarve sura kashmalam apuranga sudarshanam chakrama sahya tejo dhanush. Dhanush chasharangam stanayetnu ghosham. Shukadev tells Parikshit, O king, when all the demons, the followers of Maharaj Bali, saw the universal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who held everything within his body, when they saw in the Lord's hand his disc, known as the Sudarshan Chakra, which generates intolerable heat, and when they heard the tumultuous sound of his bow, all of these caused lamentation within their hearts. Just when explaining the name Chakri, I also read one line from this verse, Sudarshanam Chakra Masahyate Jaha. A recent great Sri Vaishnav commentator, Shimushnam Andavan, he, in discussing these topics, refers to Andal in her Tirupavai, singing the glory of Shanga. She's appealing to the rain god to shower rain like the shower of arrows that shoot out from the Shanga. So instead of comparing the shower of arrows to the rain, she's comparing the rain to the shower of arrows, meaning that the heavy pouring rain, which can be compared to the shooting of arrows. In other words, the shooting of arrows from Ram's bow is more than the heavy pounding of rain. He shoots out the enemies. The enemies are the enemies of his devotees. Once he releases an arrow, that's it. You had it. What is that? Eka ban, eka vachan, eka patni. That's Rama. He has one arrow is enough. One word, if he gives his word, that's it. He's going to do it. He's going to stick to his word. And one wife. So he's steady. He's always there with his bow. We can trust him, and we can trust what he says, and we can trust him to protect his devotees. So in the same way, we should be firm and committed, just as he's committed to us. We should be committed to him, and we should have the faith that he will protect us. Our devotion should be like his protection, firm and unwavering. What's more important, the bow or the arrows? We talk a lot about the bow. Should be the arrows, you'd think, right? Because it's the arrows that do the job. But then without the bow, the arrow, I mean, you could throw them, but that's another kind of weapon. That's called javelin shakti, that's called in Sanskrit. That's one of the uses of the word shakti. Both are needed, but with this bow, just by twanging the string, that's enough to make even the enemies become disheartened. Baladev Vidyabhushan explains that this bow, Sharanga, of Lord Vishnu, represents the kriya tattva, the principle of action. Shankaracharya, he says that this bow, sharanga, represents the senses and egoism. We have in Bhagavatam, in the first canto, the name is Sharanga Dhanvana. In fourth canto, Sharanga Dhanva. In the tenth canto, Sharanga Dhanvana. In the sixth canto, in the Narayana Kavaja, Devo Parhane Madhu Hogra Dhanva. May Lord Madhusudan, who carries a terrible bow, that's right, that's for the enemies, for the demons, protect me during the fifth part of the day, Aparana. Nowadays we live by the watch, right? You have to see the watch, but in rural societies, what's the time? It's Madhyan, Aparana, it's midday, it's, you see by the sun, it's midday, it's afternoon, like that. You don't need such specific times. Then Rukmini says to Krishna, reminiscing, my Lord, as a lion drives away lesser animals to claim his proper tribute, you drove off the assembled kings with the resounding twang of your sharanga bow, again, just by the sound. And then you claimed me, your fair share. Then, when Lord Krishna returned to Dwaraka, he had been in Hastinapur, and he found Dwaraka under siege, from Shalva was attacking. So he ordered Daruka, his charioteer, take me right onto the battlefield. He just come on a long journey. Okay, let's get into action right away. No waiting around. Then Shalva noticed him. How will you notice when there's so many chariots? And then you see oh, everyone noticed. Oh, look, there's a chariot with the flag of Garuda. Krishna's here. So Shalva threw his spear at Krishna's charioteer. That's the usual modus operandi. First of all, they try to kill the horses, kill the charioteer, break the chariot, like this. But Krishna shattered Shalva's spear into hundreds of pieces and pierced Shalva and his sober airship with numerous arrows. So Krishna's using his bow here. Shalva responded by shooting an arrow that struck Krishna's left arm, and then the Lord dropped the sharanga bow, which he was holding in his left hand. You hold it in your left hand and pull with the right. And the demigods became afraid and cried out in alarm while Shanga insulted Krishna. How does that happen? Well, it's Leela. It's no fun if you win all the time, right? Okay, we're going to Chaitanya Leela. Where does the bow come in Chaitanya Leela? Shadbhuj Roop, we have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed to Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya. You can still see in Puri the six-armed form, the deity, showing the two hands of Krishna holding a flute, two hands of Ram with bows and arrows, and two hands of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his kamandalu and danda, which that's symbolic because that was already broken. But even before that, now you're stuck. This is, Jagai Madaina. Ah, yeah, yeah. He showed the form of Ram to Hanuman, Ruharari Gupta, telling him, you are Hanuman. But this name, Saranga Dhara, was also sung by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees in the first ever public Sankirtan procession. They sung this kirtan. Tu acharane mana laga hun re, Saranga dharo tua charne mon lagahunre. Chaitanya Chandra e adi sankirtan bhakta garna gai nache Sri Sachinandan. So this is the first sankirtan they sung in praise of Saranga dhara, Vishnu. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati comments that in this first sankirtan procession, there was a prescription for fixing one's mind at the feet of Lord Ramachandra. And he comments, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati comments, that according to the qualification of the devotees, some worshipped Vasudev, some worshipped Lakshmi Narayana, and some worshipped Sita Ram. There is a necessity, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, for manifesting different levels of service according to the practitioner's progressive qualification. So in his first Sankirtan procession, they were chanting names of Vishnu, which can be understood as name of Ram also. It's a very interesting theological consideration. That was a public Sankirtan procession. That was for the public to hear. So, Hare Krishna, Sri Sarangadhara, Bhagavan ki jai. Hare Krishna, any question related to this talk? Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, many times in the Ramayana we find descriptions of Lord Rama and Lakshmana and having marks of the bow on their body.
Yeah, that's standard for Kshatriyas to have marks of the bow. How? As Jarasandha noted, when the three Brahmanas came to visit him in his kingdom, these three Brahmanas, they looked like Kshatriyas, and especially with the impressions of the bow which is hung on their shoulder.
I see. So it comes by hanging it.
Well, yeah, you that's what I understand. Yeah, you keep it like that.
I see. And the strings of these bows, what are they exactly made of?
It's made from gut, isn't it? At least in the modern age. Maybe it's probably made from plastic or some oil derivative nowadays. But as far as I remember, it's made from gut, just like guitar strings or vinar strings used to be. Now it's made from steel.
What is gut?
Gut means from your stomach. Not your stomach, but some animals probably are.
Oh.
I don't know exactly.
Okay.
There are all kinds of things, like mridanga has leather straps. What's the most effective thing for removing, when you put all powder on the form of the Lord, the deity, what's the most effective thing for removing it? A brush made from the pig's tail. So that's prescribed in Shastra. Water, you don't have flowing water. So how do you carry it from one place to another? You have to take it from the river or the lake and bring it to the residence.
Earthen pot. Earthen pot.
By bucket? No.
Earthen pot.
No, not by earthen pot. The water carriers, they would carry it in the whole body of a pig or a goat. That was the system. The pig would be so heavy. You see Ramaya Nandai in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, their service was bringing water. That's what they did. You have to go up and down, and then you put it in big earthen pots. Have you seen that previously? The huge earthen pots in which they keep water. If you don't have a well in your house, or even it may not be suitable to have a well. It may be salty water, just like in Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Puri. I would presume that all the water there, if you dig it up from the earth, is what earth? It's all sandy. And it's going to be salty. So they'd bring from Indradyumna Sarovara or Narendra Sarovara. That was the system. So there's some things practical. stool is contaminating, but there's the lizard stool you see in the houses all the time, these tick-tickies, that's not considered contaminating. Otherwise, everything would be contaminated all the time because they're all a tiny little thing, right? So it's just practical, that's all. Leather shoes, that's also allowed. You're not supposed to kill the animal, but after the animal has died, you can make leather shoes. Definitely for kshatriyas, you're going to have your wrist has to be flexible, but at the same time, you need some protection against arrows and swords, and so you have leather, made from leather.
How is deity worship traditionally done with punctuality?
If punctuality won't be to the minute in traditional deity worship like we have it.
Which is why in Indian temples, it's always like traditional temples, it's always like some
maybe
around
maybe
that time.
It's according to the sun and the moon. Like that, mostly the sun. The chronometers, they've had for at least 1,000 years in Europe with sundials. They still have some in England. Of course, you have to have sunshine, which isn't there a lot of the time in England. But that was there. And in India also, at this time of year, you might not see much sunshine in much of India because of the rain, clouds. Otherwise, for keeping precise time, there is a system that's described in Bhagavatam that you have to make a pot. It has to be exactly made and pierce a hole exactly the right time size. It works something like an egg timer. I don't know if any of you know what an egg timer is. Do you know? No. Yeah, the sand, and you put it upside down, and yeah, it's like you know. And then when it's finished, then you take the eggs out of the water, and they're boiled. It's the time for boiling. So, like that, the water drops, and you can measure the time by the drops.
What you were mentioning about how Lord Shiva's bow was given to Devavrata, who was part of the Ikshvaku. So, how did Janak Maharaj get that bow? Is he not part of the Ikshvaku?
I don't know. He might. Oh, that is stated actually, isn't it? Then Devavrata, was he in the same line? I can't remember now. I closed this up. I did yesterday. I got that, but somehow I didn't put it in here, and I don't remember. So it's been rushed. I've been rushing all my material recently.
And
usually I prepare a talk and then wait for some days or weeks for different ideas to come, but it's been very rushed.
Maharaj, and what horn is the bow made of? You said Shanga, one of the things.
I don't know. Again, maybe buffalo horn seems to be standard. It's one horn of one animal. That would have to be a big horn, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so yeah. I was thinking it must be huge.
There's that, what's that called? That eight-legged animal. What's that called? A very fierce animal. That's mentioned repeatedly in Shastra. Huh?
Yali, Guru Maharaj.
Yali is elephant, right? Yeah. Yeah. No, that's Shaurabh or something like that. Sharabha, yeah. Maybe. I don't know exactly. You have to ask her. Someone who makes it. There's a word in English for someone who makes arrows. I don't know what the word for making bows is. No, and it's more or less a defunct word nowadays. Oh, someone still makes arrows. Fletcher, it's called a Fletcher, yeah. How do you know that?
He's very smart, Nimai.
He's very smart, okay. Yeah, so you can understand, like you have names in English. So they're surnames like Smith, Carter, Clark. So Fletcher is very, very much part of society. making arrows. You need a lot more arrows made than bows, I guess. Yeah, must be. And then you had to make a quiver. Presumably that's made of leather also. So lots of leather.
Marsh, and you, in your previous lecture, you were speaking about how Varuna also, you know, kept that the Sudarshan Chakra, and he gave it to Lord Krishna. Yeah. So could it be that Varuna just holds the weapons, and whenever
Varuna holds the weapons,
and whenever the Lord needs it, he.
It may be, but again, there's nothing found from the commentators.
Maharaj, you mentioned Jamadagni didn't want to retaliate, even if there's any wrong done unto him. And I was thinking that the mood of a conditioned soul is to always want to get revenge.
Yeah, the mood of a conditioned soul is to want to give revenge. And even just like a saintly person wants to do good for others, we were reading that verse. Saintly people, even without any motive, without any, for no reason, they want to do good to others, to uplift them. So the demons, for no reason, they want to harm others. But retaliation, yeah, it's very strong, but Jamadagni didn't want to do that. Brahmana.
Hare Krishna. Famously, on Lord Krishna's lotus feet, there are the symbols of the bow.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
The shankha, the chakra.
One bow is there.
So are is there. Are those the his weapons, the shanga, the panchajanya, are they those, or they're just general symbols?
I don't know, but presumably they would be. That his personal associates, they like to be permanently at his lotus feet. Even when he's in Vrindavan. Okay, Hare Krishna. Anything else? Ladies' side. Vancha kalpa tarupyas charkibhya sindhubhya vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.